I think about what I think is really the most fundamental question in life. And this is it. This is the most fundamental question. Where does goodness come from? I want to wrestle with that today. Where does goodness come from? There are all sorts of different answers that are given for this. Sometimes goodness comes from a good philosophy, right? For a good way to approach life. Sometimes we say goodness comes from the heart of people. Or maybe goodness comes from certain people. If we could filter out the world and say, well, if we get more of these people and less of these people, then that's where goodness would be. Sometimes we think goodness is in technology, right? And science and knowledge. And this is where goodness is. For some, the goodness is just the universe. It's just out there. It's just inherently good. Or there's good in the spirit world. And I just want to think for a time this morning. Not to give the Sunday morning answer that says, here's where goodness is, but to wrestle with the question in our hearts. What's our conviction about where goodness is found? And seeking God's work in our hearts today. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that we can hear from you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work in our hearts. For each one, what we need, we pray that you would show us your goodness for your glory and for our joy in knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at Hebrews 11 for a few minutes today. I encourage you to have that in front of you. I'll have it on the screen as well, and that QR code should get you there, or the Bibles that are in the back. Hebrews 11, commended by God. And this is a message that was prompted by my time, my travels, and reflection as I was in Nigeria and encountering other people. So we want to take a few minutes to look at that, and then we'll talk about this drawing and a couple of others in a minute. So Hebrews 11, and we'll just go through it a verse or two at a time. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So stop there for a second. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance of what we cannot see. So there are things that we can't see, and yet faith says, I know it's real. I know it's good, even though I can't see it. And we're told this is what the ancients, people in the past, people of God, were commended for. You know the language construction of passive voice. They were commended for something. It doesn't say who commended them. But it's clear this is what God honors in people. Right? This is when God says, now that was good. Right? And this is what I want. I dream that there would be a day that God and I will be reflecting on my life, and there will be at least a couple of times he says, you know what? That was good. That was good. I fear the number of times he says, ooh, what were you thinking? Why did you fight for your rights so hard here? Right? Why did you love here? But what are the times when God would say, now that was good? And what the author says is God will look and say, when there was faith, when there was a trust in the things that you couldn't see, in what God has declared, he says, he's going to honor that. He's going to commend that. Right? So God rewards faith. Now this kind of this thesis statement, he says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. He says, by faith we understand that the universe had a beginning, that it came from God, and it came by a word from God. By faith we understand, he says, that God made stuff out of nothing. God made a universe and there was nothing to precede it. One of the fascinating things is when this was written, that was a really radical idea. From Greek, Roman thought, it's like this place has just been and it came from something before. And now modern science says, well, exactly this. The universe had a beginning. Space and time started. For them, this was a radical claim. And it is still in many ways for us that God calls things into existence out of nothing. But I want to match that with this idea that God calls into existence good where there was no good. Right? God brings goodness into a place where there was no goodness. This is what it is to trust God. At his command, he can say, here's a mess, I'm going to make it good. And so creation itself, the world was formless and void. And God said, let's give it form and fill it and make it good. This is what God does. He takes a place where there is no goodness, and by his word, he brings goodness. By faith, we understand that's where goodness comes from. God makes it. He is the source of it. So then the writer says, let me give you some examples. So verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So if you know the story, Cain and Abel, the first brothers, the first sons, Cain killed his brother. Abel was good. He honored God. And let me just say, this is a fascinating thing. In Hebrew, it says that Abel walked with God. The Septuagint, the Greek, the ancient Greek translation of that says he pleased God. So Hebrew says he walked with God. Greek says he pleased God. And you see that here we see him as righteous because God spoke well of him. God was pleased with him. And we'll see that keep coming. So I love that language where we get these two different translations, the one, the original and the translation that help us see that. But Abel lived a tragic life. He was a young man who was killed by his brother because his brother was envious of him. He never had kids, right? Didn't live out his life long, and he died in injustice, in a violent act, out in away from his family, and he was killed. And yet, by faith, he still has a voice. By faith, he's not gone. By faith, there's a word of praise that still comes from Abel. Abel was one whose life ended in an unjust, untimely death. And yet by faith, it didn't end. By faith, the goodness continues. So he continues to have a good influence in the world, even though he's not there. And in the ancient text, it says that even his blood cried out. By faith, even in the injustice, he had the goodness of God. We go to the next verse, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God, who walked with God. By faith, Enoch. And so we've gone forward another chapter in Genesis, and this chapter tells us here's somebody who lived, had kids, and died, and lived and had kids and died, and lived and had kids and died. And then we come to Enoch, and it says he lived and he had kids, and he had more kids, and then he didn't have to die. He lived a blessed life, right? He lived a long, good life. He had the blessings of family and knowing the next generation, and death was not a part of his story. God just said, you don't have to deal with death. You don't have to die. And so in an amazing way, Enoch lived an amazingly blessed life. So compare Abel. Abel died an unjust, violent, early death that cut him off from the goodness of God. Enoch lived a long, full life and didn't even have to deal with death. And they both did it by faith. Right? So even in the trouble, faith gave Abel a voice and blessing. And even in his blessing, Enoch experienced the goodness of God by faith. And so then verse 6 gives us this theological statement. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to walk with God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It says, this is what it is to know God. You have to have faith. You have to believe in that which you don't have immediate physical evidence for. And if you don't have that, it says you can't walk with God. You can't please God because you have to believe that he exists, and science can't prove that. Right? We can't say, oh, come over here, I'll show you. You know, we'll do the experiment and I'll show you God here. There's evidence for God, but we don't have that access. It takes faith to believe that God exists, and then beyond that, it takes faith to believe that God brings goodness for those who trust him. It takes faith to believe that. That here's this idea that faith in God brings the goodness of God. That's what it takes to walk with God, is to believe that God rewards those who seek him. He rewards them by helping them know him. But the full blessing of God is that when we trust him, he brings his goodness. To walk with God, it's to believe that, to depend upon that. And so then, the last story we're going to look at is Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Noah. Noah, who lived in a place, it seems, that without bodies of water, God said, there's going to be a great flood, and you'd better start building a boat. And Noah says, what's a boat? Right? And God warns him about something that nobody else believes. Maybe they don't even understand it. God says, here's what you do. You need to do this. And he did. And that boat helped him survive a catastrophic storm. Right? A storm beyond all storms. A storm that destroyed everything and everybody. And that obedience rescued him. By faith, Noah believed God, even though he had to live through the worst possible storm and destruction. Right? So we have Abel, who dies an early death, a violent death, an unjust death, and yet by faith he still speaks. We have Enoch, who lives a blessed life. Everything's good, and by faith it is the goodness of God. And Noah, who lives a long life, and yet he lives through horrendous disaster and storm. And by his own obedience, he makes it through by faith. See, I think the writer is wanting us to see that faith in God brings the goodness of God. This is where goodness comes from. It comes from God, and it comes by faith, by trust in God. Whether we're in a place like Abel, in a place of injustice and violence, and the goodness of God comes by faith in God, or in a place of blessing, like Enoch, or in a place of chaos and trouble like Noah, for all of them, faith in God brings the goodness of God. Okay, so this drawing. What do you see? I didn't put the Northern Lights in. Anybody see the Northern Lights? I heard they're fantastic. I wish I had paid more attention. Somebody looking up and seeing the stars and saying, wow. This is amazing. The beauty of it, right? The majesty, the grandeur, the stability of it. So tell me what happens to the stars when the sun comes up.
They're still there,
but all of a sudden we can't see them at all. And in fact, well, who needs stars? Now we've got the sun, right? When the sun shines, the stars are invisible. Yet the stars are just the same as they've always been. How about when a storm comes? Right? And it could be the middle of the night, but you got a storm, right? And when storms come, the stars are invisible, yet the stars are unchanged. Right? So whether or not we can see them changes, but not whether or not they're there. The stars are the goodness of God. It's always there. He is always good. He's always right. And there are times when it's very clear to us. And we say, look at that. God is good. We thank him for this. We can see his goodness. And sometimes we do. But then sometimes, this is a surprising one, sometimes good hides God's goodness from us. Like the sun in the sky, all of a sudden, look at that, we've got life and we've got light. And that goodness can blind us to the goodness of God. Right? Jesus said it this way, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. There are times when good things blind us to the goodness of God. They deceive us. They distract us. They lead us to put our hope in other things. And then we don't even see God. We can't see his goodness. We don't see it. And we don't even think we need it. Wow, who needs stars when you got the sun? Right? Ironically, sometimes the good things keep us from seeing the goodness of God. But then also, sometimes, troubles hide God's goodness from us. Right? The psalmist, there are many psalms that say this. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will the troubles I face make it so that I cannot see your promises? I can't see your hand. I can't see your work. I'm not aware of your presence. You see, we have different experiences in life, but we all have to answer the same questions. Where does goodness come from? And the psalmist in Psalm 16 says, "You're my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Goodness comes from God alone. Now, I don't say anything out loud, but my guess is that we have a pretty decent distribution of which of these pictures reflects your life right now. And some of us probably really have a sense that, wow, I see God's goodness and I thank him for it, and it is his goodness, and that I just have a heart full of praise for him. And I expect some of us are kind of like the center picture. It's like, well, sure, God's good, but life is okay right now. Right? They're good things, and there's a way in which we can feel like, we're doing okay, and I should probably pray. I don't really need to, but I know it's a good thing to do, so I should probably do that. And some of us are in that place. And some of us are like the third picture, where we say, I don't know that God actually cares. Is there a God? If there is, where is he? Where are you, God? Why all this time? Why do you hide your face from me? And the struggle to say, all I can tell is that I'm in a storm and I can't see the goodness of God. And in all those places, it's necessary to say, where does my heart really say that goodness comes from? What's my conviction? When I'm looking for good, where do I look? What do I do? What do I pursue? Or do I give up on goodness and just say, life's a mess, and I'll just put up with it, right? The way people say to enjoy Michigan winter is expect it to be terrible, and then every now and then you're pleasantly surprised, right? And some of us do that in life. We say life is just a really big pain, and every now and then there are good things, but you get to know people, and this is what we hear. And others of us, we're just enthralled with life and not sure that we actually really need God. I think it's so important to build into our hearts this reality that faith in God brings the goodness of God. That's the source of goodness. Not the apparent goodness, and in the chaos, nothing else can do this. And to think that God actually rewards active faith. It says you can't walk with God unless you believe that God rewards those who seek him, who say, God is the source of goodness, so I will seek God, whatever else I see or don't see. Whether or not we can see any good, God rewards active faith. And so the application is very simple in understanding, but it is to pursue goodness from God. And so for some of us, we are in a place that we say, I have a heart that resonates with this. This is my life. This is my experience. I have goodness, and it's come from God himself. Thanks be to God. And that's a beautiful thing. And Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And that is so good when our hearts resonate with seeing the stars and we say, God is good. And I see his hand in my life. And what a beautiful thing that is. And sometimes we're in a place where the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things choke our love for God. And I see this in myself, and this is part of what I experienced in Nigeria, is their sense that, if things are always secure and stable and your needs are met, how do you encounter God there? And I realize it's so easy to thank God for my food. When I eat, I thank God for my food. But how often am I really thankful? Versus just saying, I know I'm supposed to thank him because that's a tradition that I have. We thank him for the food, but I knew it was going to be here anyway, right? And I stopped really believing that anything that's good that I have is coming from him. And so it's a real dangerous place, this deceitfulness of wealth, and Jesus warned against it. He says, this is going to choke your love for God. This is going to choke your life with him. To have all these things taken care of. That's why Jesus said, the hardest thing to imagine is for a rich person to get into heaven. Because they have no need for it. Heaven is right here. They don't have a need for God. That's one of the hardest things, he said, is for that person to encounter God. And for some of us, it's a reality. What is our hunger for God? And then, four, the third group. That is to think some of us are in a place of darkness. I mean, I'm not sure there's any goodness left to have. I'm not sure that God's actually at work in the world anymore. Or I can't make sense of it. And sometimes our hearts are so burdened with tragedy or trauma or the injustice of the world that we wonder, is there any goodness at all? And so this is where Jeremiah the prophet said, so this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. He says, I don't care how dark the night, how bad the storm, here's my conviction, and I will keep telling myself this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God brings good to those who will trust him. And it might take a lifetime. It might be that we die an early, unjust, violent death, like Abel. And yet that can't stop the goodness of God. It could be that we live a long, rich life, like Enoch. And yet God's goodness is still able to be expressed in that and known in that, not just lost because it's always sunny, but to say, this is the work of God, and I trust him. And for Noah, living through a long life that had challenge and conflict and horrible storm, and we're told that by faith he walked with God. By faith he pleased God, because he said, God is still the source of goodness, and he will reward those who seek him. See, God brings good when no other good can be found. So I want to go back to creation. Right? A key idea in Christianity is that God created ex nihilo, out of nothing. Right? There was no empty space before God created. In some sense, there wasn't even a before, because there wasn't time to have, there wasn't space to have time, but out of nothing, not out of emptiness, but out of nothing, God created something beautiful and filled it. That is the goodness of God. We say, where is goodness going to come from? What's the source of it? And the source of it is the God who calls things into being by his word. Want to think about seeking God's goodness when it's hard to find. And so what are the stars that we say, yeah, I know that star is there even though I can't see it. And so here's one of those stars. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus said, you matter to God. Even the details that you're just irritated because another strand of hair came out. I got to clean that up. To us, it's just a bother. To God, he's counting them. He says, all these details of your life, I care about them, and I'm going to care for you in them. Jesus said, when you can't tell that this is the case, remind yourself it is. God cares for you. He cares about the sparrows, and they're two for a penny. He cares about you. He says, remember this when you're in the storm and you can't see anything else. Remember that he does care. And I love the expression, your Father's care. God cares. And in his care, he takes action. It's mysterious because for Abel, it was a violent death. And yet, even in that, God cared and he worked for good. And so this confidence that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And this is something that we hold to. And we say, in the storm, in the abundance, whatever it is, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. I don't know what it is that gives you the sense that things aren't right in the world. It might be an upcoming election. You say, wow, things aren't right in the world. It might be injustice. It might be brokenness in the church. It might be brokenness in relationships or families or even in yourself. And God says, here's a star to guide your life. God cares for you. And he's going to work everything together for your good as you trust him. As you say, that's where my North Star is. That's where I'm pointed. Now, you know what happens if you literally follow the sun, right? Let's see. So that's east, that's west. You follow the sun, right? In the morning, you go this way. Noon, you're looking up. And by evening, you're walking back this way. Right? And this is what we do in our circumstances. We're just following things that are wandering around. What we need to do is to find an anchor, and that is God himself brings good to those who will trust him. Through tragedy, through abundance, whatever it is, he will work. Faith in God brings the goodness of God. And the hope is that God will build that in us as a conviction. That the next time I'm in the place that says this is dark, I'll say, but faith in God brings the goodness of God. To live by faith and not by sight. So, a quick story. I love this story told in Mark. This man in desperate need. He desperately needed the goodness of God. And no goodness could be found. He came to God's disciples and said, I need the goodness of God. And they said, well, we'll try. And no goodness of God came. And so he came to Jesus. And he said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. He had this little bit of faith that says, God will be good to those who trust him. He will bring goodness. He'll bring blessing if I will trust him. So I'm coming to say, Jesus, I'll trust you. Even though your representatives failed me, I'll trust you. And Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. And then I love the response of this man. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And literally, I love the literal words are, help my unbelief. He says, oh, Jesus, I want to believe that. I want to have a faith that's that strong. But I don't know. And yet, he said, even in my struggle for faith, I expect the goodness of God. You see, it's not the quality of our faith that saves us. Because his faith was so weak, and yet it was the object of his faith. Because God brings goodness to those who will put their faith in him. So our theme this year has been find and follow Jesus. So, the writer of Hebrews started out with this statement, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then he goes person after person after person and saying, here's how they had faith. And look at this, how God worked through their faith, even in the struggle. And then he comes to chapter 12. And he says, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is the story of Jesus' life. He trusted his Father. He trusted his Father enough to go to a horrible death, to carry the wrath of the Father for things he'd never done out of love for us when we rejected him. And he says, okay, Father, I'm going to trust you. And God brought such amazing goodness through that. Our faith is in the one who lived by faith. He is the perfecter of it. He is the one who got it right. And our hope is in him. And so when we find and follow Jesus, we should expect that there will be seasons like Abel, like Jesus, like Noah, where the storms are overwhelming, where the chaos is too much, and maybe even we meet an untimely, violent death. And yet, like them, we say, we'll fix our eyes on Jesus. Because God brings goodness to those who will trust him. In his timing, in a perfect way. And for those times that we have abundance, when we say, I do have my needs met. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus and say, that's because there's a good God who's made a good world, who is at work bringing the blessing he has promised. And so we look to him. So I go back to this question for you. What's your conviction when you face challenges, when you face struggles, when you face goodness? What's the conviction of your heart? Where is goodness to be found? And there's one place to find goodness when there is nothing else to find. And that is in the God who calls goodness into being by his grace for his glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give praise to your name. You are the God who created out of nothing by your word, and you are the God who brings goodness into being. You turned the attacks of evil and the devil into the greatest good by your power. We thank you that you are the God who brings goodness. Teach us to put our hope in you. Whether we have much or little, if our cup is full or empty, we bring it to you to give you praise, to cry out to you for the help that we need. We come with confidence that you are good and that you bring good and bless and reward those who put their trust in you through Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In his name we pray.